active duty troops are standing by outside of Washington, D.C., waiting for a potential order from President Trump to crack down on protesters. Yesterday, Trump declared himself the, quote, president of law and order, end quote. He said if cities and states aren't willing to establish, quote, an overwhelming law enforcement presence, he's prepared to take action.
I am mobilizing all available federal resources, civilian and military, to stop the rioting and looting, to end the destruction and arson, and to protect the rights of law-abiding Americans, including your Second Amendment rights.
The violence follows last week's death of George Floyd while in Minneapolis police custody. Since then, peaceful demonstrations have taken place in cities across the country, but so has looting and rioting, including in Madison and Milwaukee. So what powers do presidents have when it comes to sending troops to American cities? Gordon Adams is a professor emeritus of U.S. foreign policy at American University. His areas of expertise include defense and national security. Gordon, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Happy to join you, Rob.
Well, I've been looking online at arguments among legal experts with different answers to the question, can the president do this? What is your read on this, Gordon?
Well, it depends on what this is, because there are at least a couple of laws that apply to this particular type of situation. Scholars are going to disagree on where the effectiveness is. There is something that we passed way back in 1878 called the Posse Comitatus Act. And the Posse Comitatus Act, passed in the wake of the Civil War, basically says you can't use the federal military to execute the law in any given state. And that's been the sort of basic legal prohibition on using force. It doesn't mean you can't deploy the military. It doesn't mean you can't do a natural disaster type relief, National Guard. All those kinds of things can happen, and they do. Lots of history of that. But the critical legal distinction that the Posse Comitatus Act sets up is saying the military cannot perform policing functions, that is to say, execute the law. They can't go out and arrest people. They can't apply laws to people when they're used in any internal situation. And that's, you know, been used most of the time to keep a norm intact. And the norm is we don't really use the military to enforce order in the United States. Now, there are exceptions to this, and the biggest exception is the other law. It's called the Insurrection Act, which was originally passed in 1807, believe it or not, and amended in 2006. So it's a law still on the books, and it has been used. And under the Insurrection Act, it is possible to bring in the military with constraints on their use to execute the laws, but to establish order. In the first case, under one of the provisions of the Insurrection Act, the military would be brought in at the request of a state legislature or in the absence of convening the legislature, the governor. And the military would come in and be used for that purpose. The most noticeable instance recently of the Insurrection Act being used under those circumstances was probably the Los Angeles riots in 1993, I think it was. When the military was brought in Los Angeles and did help establish order. But even there, the military was very careful, active duty military. This is not federalizing the Guard. I mean, you have to make a distinction here because the National Guard at the state level can be used by governors to execute the laws. But if the president nationalizes, federalizes the National Guard, then the Posse Comitatus restrictions apply. And in Los Angeles, the commander of the exercise in Los Angeles basically said, we will use the military up to the point of actually arresting people. That belongs to the local police. So he behaved according to the norms that provision of the Insurrection Act. The other part of the Insurrection Act, though, says the president can on his own, and this is what people are relying on politically right now. It's what Senator Cotton called for and others. It says the president may, under circumstances where it's impracticable for any state to enforce the law, the president may call into federal service the militia of any state, meaning the National Guard, or use the federal military to enforce the laws or suppress the rebellion, right? Anything that's an unlawful obstruction, combination, assemblage, or rebellion against the authority of the United States. That's the provision that it seems the Trump administration wants to invoke here if governors don't ask for it. Governors previously have asked for it. Blanco in Catarina asked for it. Governor Romney, Mitt's father, and governor of Michigan, called it into Detroit. There are plenty of cases where that first provision has been executed. It's rare, extremely rare, the second provision to be executed.
I wanted to dig into a comment from Senator Cotton of Arkansas. You mentioned in his tweets calling for the use of various military units, he ended by saying they should apply, I'm going to quote here, no quarter for insurrectionists, anarchists, rioters, and looters. No quarter people might use colloquially. It has a legal and military meaning, I think, that people say is pretty disturbing.
Well, it means the lethal use of force, basically.
And without accepting surrender.
No quarter means no quarter. It means you don't accept surrender. You shoot people, basically. You kill people. And that, Senator Cotton, is simply out to lunch, not to use a colloquial phrase, because even if you deploy the forces into a situation like this, there are standing rules with respect to how force can be used in responding to civil unrest in the United States. They're called Standing Rules for the Use of Force, SRUF, and they are fairly careful, those rules, right? They have to do with using force as the last resort and force as the minimum necessary. And finally, deadly force is to be used only when all lesser means have failed or cannot be reasonably employed. In other words, in the guidance of the Pentagon, this is no longer the law, but this is the standing rules that the Pentagon has in place, that they tailor to individual circumstances. But it would be extremely unusual. I dare say practically unprecedented for Senator Cotton to have his wet dream of having the military walk in shooting and taking down looters and people demonstrating and people torching stores or looting or whatever they're doing without any imposition of standing rules. Those are long existing precedent in the use of force in the United States. And the only time that force is authorized under the rules of force, including deadly force, under those standing rules, is with respect to three specified assets. Right? Assets vital to national security, and that means things like nuclear command posts and control facilities, or inherently dangerous property like missiles, rockets, explosives, if somebody's attacking a military base with a bunch of insurgents. And thirdly, national critical infrastructure, meaning public utilities. So if people are attacking, the telephone lines and taking down the water pumps, then, there's a provision that allows deadly force to be considered. But again, it's not Senator Cotton's greatest desire. It's not going in and establishing order by killing people. It's literally forces of order working within standing rules. So there's it just strikes me, Rob, there's a lot of rhetoric around this that's tough guy rhetoric that doesn't really understand either the provisions of law or the rules of engagement for the uses of the military.
Talking to Gordon Adams from American University about the president's threat to send armed forces, federal armed forces, into cities around the country. I want to quote Congressman Adam Smith, Democrat chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, quoting, "The domestic deployment of our armed services is an incredibly serious undertaking that should not be taken lightly." He goes on, "It is un-American to use our service members to dominate civilians, as both the president and Secretary of Defense have suggested. We live in a democracy, not a dictatorship." So how do we evaluate if this particular situation, the protests and then the looting around the country, is a point where we want to invoke the Insurrection Act? Is it the right thing to do?
It's hard for me to judge because I don't have the detailed knowledge of the situations in each of the places where there are activities like this going on. Obviously, Minneapolis is the core of this, some activity in Los Angeles as well, as I understand it. But mostly, for the most part, what we have is angry, but basically peaceful demonstrations. They fall far short of the early 1990s Los Angeles riots or the Detroit riots. They're way, way short of anything that has been ultimately that these laws have been used in order to bring in the uniformed military. My back of the envelope judgment here is no. And if you are going to require something more than the National Guard, right, then you have a choice. Either the governors, as some have brought in, as they have in Minneapolis, have brought in the National Guard to help maintain order in the streets, or you can federalize the National Guard, as the president has the authority to do, and bring them in under federal authority, whether the governors want to have them or not, under the Insurrection Act. But that there's very little here that says to me that there's a justification for bringing in military force. The rhetoric far surpasses what I think the real risk here is. And it gets worse when you have somebody like the Secretary of Defense basically saying dominate the battlefield, which he was recorded as having said to the governors, that we should use military force to dominate the battlefield. That's what governors ought to be doing. This is not a battlefield, not in any statutory or legal or even military sense of the term. It is unruly civil unrest. That is true. And it's not unprecedented in the United States. But the first recourse for any of this is at the local police level and the state National Guard level. And those instruments are being used. They have not been fully tested here. And it strikes me as political advantage by people like Cotton, and yes, the president himself, is being taken with respect to the reaction to basically the brutal killing of a citizen in Minneapolis. So I don't think we're anywhere near the point where we have a broad-based civil insurrection across the United States that requires the use of the military. And Americans have had a norm for a long time about being very careful about when and how we use America's military. And there's a very long history that goes way back to the Constitution.
And we'll leave it there. Thanks to our guest, Gordon Adams, Professor Emeritus of U.S. Foreign Policy at American University. We talked to him about President Trump's threat to use the military to end looting and rioting, he says, in U.S. cities after protests of the death of George Floyd.